Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to beam others. Cause once you get your rubs, you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take a fuck from. Don't let them get the teeth, break a fuck on tripping. Cause you don't need the teeth to make them so long. Yeah. I'm gonna hear them all when they get alone. I'll be on your mother's phone. I be pulling all the calls through this 90 flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just fuck with love. You just wanna give me the remote because they know they work. Someone that's not dancing with me, they probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with the truth and keep it under rust. So deal with it. Still don't have to mind. It's love. Position is the nature's epidemic. This is not a gift.
All right. What's going on, everybody? Deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind a drug. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, March the 19th. Monday, March the 19th of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I got a very important topic scheduled for you today. I'm glad to be back. I'm feeling, almost back to normal, about 90%, I guess. I'm a little over-enthusiastic, I guess. Yesterday, I got back in this morning, was out, brushed my teeth for the first time, and was really feeling pretty good, pain-free, and then I started having a little bit of pain. I guess the painkiller started to wear off, so I had to pop another pill, but in any event, I am about 90%, I guess. I'm almost back to full strength. So it's you guys know I enjoy what I do, and the enemy used to attack you in the area of your gift. So I use my mouth. I talk a lot, so that's the place where I get attacked at. So that goes in line with today's message. Today we're talking about, you know, understanding how to find your single-digit strength, which is your single-digit problem. So a lot of times you get attacked physically in the area where you are gifted spiritually. Let me say that again. A lot of times we get attacked physically in the area where we are gifted spiritually. And we have this life optimization chart or circle that we use to help us to find our giftedness. And that kind of goes in line with what I said at the beginning of the show. So as we started off, you know, that is really profound to always remember that. The enemy will attack you area that you're gifted at physically because you're gifted spiritually. In other words, a lot of the problems that you have physically is the indication where you are gifted at spiritually. Let me say that again. That is extremely important. That one nugget is the whole show. That one nugget. We could hang up and we'd be done for the day. You are attacked in the area physically where you are gifted the most spiritually. Let me say it again. You are attacked in the area physically where you are gifted the most spiritually. Most of my problems have come in the area of my mouth because that's where I'm gifted at spiritually. And my hamstrings, as you guys know from playing football and running track, both my hamstrings, one is gone, the other one is severely lacerated. It's just basically might as well be gone. I pulled my hamstring muscles. I was a sprinter and I did a lot of speed work. So back in the day, so my hamstrings, so I do a lot of speaking. You got to stand up. So you are attacked physically in the area where you are gifted at spiritually. So it doesn't surprise me that I got attacked in the area of my mouth, but again, I'm about 90% today, recovery is going outstanding, going great. So you have to find your single-digit problem to find your single-digit strip. So if you take off your life optimization chart or circle, the number that divides, and we've had this class before, but we want to go a little deeper today, so that way you have crystal clear clarity over what your problem is and what your niche is. My purpose in life, I got an email yesterday for my correctional facility to go and speak at a correctional facility and to share this, because when I worked in the corrections department, as you guys know, I never met a man in prison that had purpose. Never. I never met a man in prison that had purpose, because where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. People who act out because they can't act in. People act out because they can't act within. Remember, inside revelation overrides outside demonstration. Inside revelation always overrides outside demonstration. So whenever you are overwhelmed by an outside event, it's because of a lack of an inside intent. Whenever you're overwhelmed by an outside event, it's because of a lack of an inside intent. So my job is to make sure that the quality of your intent, what is the quality of your intention? So to find the quality of your intention, you have to find your single-digit strength. My single-digit strength is the number that is divisible by the number of the four numbers on my chart. Most people are not as fortunate as I am to have it very clearly. Mine is a 3, because all of the numbers on my charts are 3, 6, and 9. So it's easy for me to see my design, and that allows me to shine. So my inside revelation overrides any outside demonstration. So no outside demonstration can override my inside revelation. So when there is an outside event, it doesn't destroy my inside intent. No outside event can destroy my inside intent. No outside event can destroy my inside intent because of clarity, because of design. So I have found my strength, and I found my problem. So you are always attacked physically in the area of where you are gifted at spiritually. So I have a lot of problems with my mouth because I use my mouth spiritually. What problems do you have physically? Do you got problems with your back? It's because that means that you're probably a foundational person. You carry the spiritual load on your back. You have problems with your feet. Maybe you're called to preach. Stand in front. Can't stand up and preach if your feet, if you can't stand. Maybe you got problems with mental because you're a spiritual warrior. You're a prayer warrior. You're called to intercede on behalf of the body of Christ. You can't do no praying for nobody else if you got severe migraines and headaches. Maybe you got vision, physical vision problems. I mean, you have a spiritual vision. You can see. So your spiritual gifts, a lot of times you're going to be attacked in the area of your physical. So let's find your spiritual gift so that way you have crystal clear clarity. Because with, again, your inside intent overrides any outside event, regardless of the calamity or the type of event. Anytime you're overwhelmed externally, is because you're not, again, designed internally. So if you take out your chart and you pull up your chart and you look at it, you're going to see something that is very, very profound. I was talking to a client today whose numbers on the chart comes up to numbers that are not easily discernible, meaning if you look at the numbers, there isn't one number that stands out. So let's say, for example, if the numbers on your chart are 1, 2, 3, 4. So the numbers on your chart, for an example, is 1, 2, 3, 4. What number is divisible into all four numbers equally? Well, you cannot divide 4 into 3, 2, and 1. You cannot divide 3 into 4, 1, and 2. You cannot divide 2 into, now you can divide 2 into 4, but you cannot divide 2 into 3 or into 1. And can you divide one into one? Yeah. Can you divide one into two? Yeah. Can you divide one into three? Yeah. Can you divide one into four? So one is the most predominant number. And then to take it a step further, let's say we look at the numbers, the two numbers that make up that number one, that number two, that number three, that number four. And for example, hypothetically, let's say that the life path number four is made up the number 3, 1. 3 plus 1 equals 4. So we have the number 3 and the number 1. Let's say the number 3 is made up of the number 1 and the number 2. So that's, again, 1 plus 2 equals 3. That's another 1. Let's say the number 1 is made up of the number 1 and the number 0. That's a number 10. You add together to get the number 1. So, again, that's a 1 and a 0. That's 3 ones. Then let's say the number 2 is actually made up of the number 1 plus 1, or master number 11. That's a 1 and a 1. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ones, and the number 1 is divisible. So the most predominant single-digit number that is divisible into that hypothetical chart is the number 1. Now, if you are a card-carrying Christian, which I hope you are, and you are a staunch believer, you can say, well, Brother Will, that's Luciferian, brother. That's of the devil. We don't worship numbers. Well, I'm with you, boo-boo. We don't worship numbers. I don't worship them either. But the Bible does tell me something about the stars, which I place inside of your Dear Kinnear report. And if you read that, it actually should put your heart to rest, because God created them as a guide and to show forth his handiwork according to scriptures. So Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 tells us, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. Psalms 8, verse 3. Psalms 19, verse 1 says, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. The skies, which is where the stars, which is where numerology and astrotheology and zodiac signs and all that other bullshitness come from. Then Psalms 147, verse 4, Psalms 147, verse 4 says, he has determined the number of the stars, and he calls them each by name. So if you notice that the zodiac, that the stars, that what we call numerology, the Pythagorean, the Chaldean, there's a bunch of different systems by which we take letters, convert them into numbers. We also have a book in the Bible called the Book of Numbers. The word constellation is actually in the Bible as well, and it's talked about. And even the whole story, and without getting into astrophysics, is a story of what they call the procession of the equinox. So the Bible teaches that God has arranged the stars in a particular manner, and they are called constellations. The Bible talks about this one constellation called Orion, and it's talked about in Job chapter 9, verse 9, Job chapter 26, verse 13, Job chapter 38, verse 31, and Amos chapter 5, verse 8. It also in the Bible talks about the Pleiades, which is a seven-star system, where God says, I have fastened the bands of the Pleiades. He also talks about the Mazarut, which is a Hebrew word that is translated into the English word constellations. That's found in Job chapter 38, verse 32. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, which is a very powerful scripture, because the Bible says the stars and the moons were given to us for signs and for a season. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 tells me that God gave me what I use for a sign. That's what I'm telling you. This is a sign. We don't worship the sign. We use it to give us what? Direction. So these numbers can give you direction. That's why I use them, because that's what the Bible tells me to do. It tells me that they are indicators of God's attributes and characteristics. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9, Joel chapter 3, verse 15, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. All of this is inside of your Dear Kinnear report. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. This is why this is so important, because we've got a lot of people who don't understand James chapter 1, verse 5. It says that the word of God, again, is a guide for our life. And it says all wisdom comes down from the Father of lights, or comes down from the stars. And so the book of Numbers, and we use numbers, and we use letters to help us or to guide or to give us an indication in the direction that we should go. That's the whole purpose of what I do. This is called theomathematics or biblical alphanumerics. Now, again, we don't worship numbers. We only worship God's attributes. But we know that God honors his word before his name. So it's very important that we understand the letters and the attributes of God. So getting back to the single digit that gives us the indication or the revelation that allows us to understand that you are always attacked in a physical area, there's an indication of a spiritual strength. So it doesn't surprise me that I had a physical problem with my mouth and with my teeth because of my spiritual strength, which is my mouth and my vocal cords. So what area are you being attacked in physically? Now, going back to our example with a number that is 1, 2, 3, 4, and the hypothetical numbers that we gave that make up the number 1 made up of 1, 0, the number 2 made up of 1, 1, the number 3 is made up of 1, 2, the number 4 made up of 3, 1. Those are all 1s. So the single-digit number that is divisible easily into the numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 is the number 1. Because that's the only number that goes into all four numbers. So number one is an independent leader. So if I'm talking to somebody and that's their chart, I'm going to tell them, you're put on this earth to be an independent leader. They should ask, how am I going to independently lead? That's inside of the two numbers that make up each individual number. For example, the number four is made up the number three, the number one. Three is the number of creation, creative creator. One is independent leader. So the strength is the independent leadership. How do they do that, though? Number three, creatively. So if they follow somebody else, that's not creative. That's not intuitive. Then the next number is the number three. The number three comes from number one, two. But how do they be a three? Three is the number of creation. One, independent. Two, peace. Peaceful. So if I'm the enemy, I'm going to talk to that client. I can guarantee that client was raised in an environment as a child where they didn't have no peace, where their peace was disturbed. That's the only way the enemy can destroy you before you get started. Remember, he attacks you when you're weak. And so in order for that individual to be created, they have to create an environment of peace. So if I go to their house and it's cluttered, if they're on the job and they've been micromanaged, they live in a big city with extreme traffic, it messes up your peace. I don't know if you ever driven in an environment like, say, L.A., say, Houston, Big D, even here in San Antonio. During traffic time, it's very hard to maintain peace. So if I'm counseling that individual, I would encourage them to get in an environment, because your peace, the number two, leads to the number one, which leads to the number three. So that is your single-digit strength, the number one. But how is the one made up? How is it harmonized? By taking the outside number to help you maintain independent leadership. Now, even though the life path is number four, which is the foundation, which is an earth number, which is the number of stability and responsibility. But how does they become that? Independent leadership. So what is, if that is the single-digit strength, what is the single-digit problem running throughout that person's entire life, guaranteed, without even talking to the individual? But the problem is always hidden. It's easy to say that the dark side of an independent leader is a dependent follower. But how is the person dependent, and how are they a follower? Because, see, this is what the enemy does. The enemy hides in plain sight. For example, me. If I'm a three, and I am, the opposite of a three, now a three is a creator, The opposite of a creator is a non-creator, somebody that don't create. Well, I don't have that problem. I've been creating all my life. Really, Brother Will, think about that for a moment. So if I'm a three and I've been creating all my life, and I have, what is the dark side of my gift? What I do every day. What is my most pressing problem? Lack of inertia. I got laundry upstairs right now that I should have started. It's been sitting there in the laundry basket for probably 2 weeks. Now, granted, I've been under weather for the last month with tooth pain and blah, blah, blah. However, lack of inertia. My car, I've been putting air. I have a front tire. It has a very slow leak. Every 2 or 3 days, I got to put air in it. That's been going on for 6 months. Well, maybe not that long, 4 months. All I got to do is how much it takes to get your tire patched? $10? How come I haven't done it? Oil change. I got a brand new car. The light comes on, tells me to go do an oil change. My light been blinking for a good 2 months. I go out and do a $30 oil change. How come I haven't done that? It's something about the dark side of my gift. Tooth pain. Now, I've been having this pain in my tooth for about a year. 6 months strong. 3 months where you want to go jump off a bridge. 3 months, Saints. Three. That's 90 days. When I could not, you know, when I could not. I went to, in that time frame, in my defense, I went to 4 different dentists who could not remove the tooth. It was too close to a nerve. Then come to find out as a black, which I didn't know, African American, our bone density is greater, supposedly makes it harder, blah, blah, blah. So I go to this guy, fortunately by the grace of God, who's a, you know, basically not even a dentist, he's an oral surgeon. And he don't even do dentistry. He do that part-time side hustle, side money. Full, he's active duty guy. All he do all day is he emergency room trauma surgeon. People come in with their mouth all mangled up after a car accident, they go see him. He don't do simple stuff like I needed. Thankfully, by the grace of God, he was there, because as we got into it, then he had to cut my tooth into 4 pieces, take it out of my, that's when my jaw was all wet. I feel like I got punched in the mouth by Mike Tyson. And then to hear it, the bone pop when he was taking the tooth out, it was like cement. Dude said he ain't never worked that hard on somebody's tooth. He was joking around and said, man, you making me work today. Now, why in the hell did it take me a year to get that removed? Why? Lack of inertia. But why is there a lack of inertia, brothers? Why? It's not what, it's why. What is your single digit problem? It is your single digit strength. So I suffer from a lack of finishing shizness. I can start anything. You know how many finish I got at least? I remember I told you guys, I published about 50 books. I got about 300 that I've written. And the 50 that I have published, I wrote pretty much all of them 50 years ago. Well, not 50, 20. A good 15, 20 years ago. They've been sitting in the garage. So why in the hell did it take me 15 years to publish these books? Lack of inertia. Why is it so comfortable? Why am I so comfortable being uncomfortable? Why do I like pain? Now, remember when I was a kid, I used to get beat, and I would look the person who was beating me in the eye, and we had this testosterone battle going on, especially with my father and the lady who used to beat us when we was kids growing up, in the little cult that we was in. Something about pain that just empowers me instead of disembowels me. My grandmother used to call me stub born. Stub means short. It means it's not fully developed. Now, the Bible says stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, that's what the Bible says. My grandmother would probably, and my brothers and sisters, probably my mom and dad would probably agree. Anybody who knows me, especially as a kid, yeah, I was not a good kid. Some people would argue, and rightfully so, not very good as an adult either. But why? Why is my disposition one of I ain't doing it, hard-headed, head thick as a brick. I could bring my wife on here. She probably would agree, too. But why? That's the dark side of my gift. But if I don't know that about myself, somebody else can come along and make me feel. That's what they used to do. I used to feel bad about being me. Now, remember, God made me this way on purpose. I am flawed for a purpose. If you do not know why you are flawed on purpose, you in trouble of hellfire. Not hell as in physical hell. Hell as in your life is going to suck. Hell on earth. People end up in prison that can't solve this problem. This is why I have my life management system. This is why I probably will be going to that Federal Corrections Institute so I can go talk to them inmates and let them know. Because this is what I do as a parole officer. My job, I was a reentry, a reintegration specialist, is what I call it. They called it the field manager. My job was to keep them suckers. The recidivism rate in prison was something like, man, 70 or 80%, meaning 10 people get out. Within 60 days, 8 go back. Why? Why? Let me tell you why. Programmed or learned helplessness. What was my environment growing up as a kid, brothers? What was my environment growing up as a kid, sisters? You know what? Poverty, crazy, cuckoo, adversity, whatever word, label, issue you want to put on it, that's my norm. As sad, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. I like cray-cray. So I had to learn that about myself. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I figured it out a long time ago, because if I had not figured that one thing out, we would not be having this conversation right now. My black ass would be in prison. I had to figure out, though, how I was programmed to be comfortable being uncomfortable. How was I programmed to like adversity? How was I programmed to lie, steal, and cheat? I wasn't born that way. I learned it. It's called learned helplessness. I'm comfortable. I sabotage. There's a glass ceiling. Somebody can walk up to me now. I've gotten better. I've had jobs since, I mean, I'm talking like most people would. Most of the jobs that I walked away and quit, people would donate a kidney to get. I remember walking out in the postal service, saying, man, y'all can handle this. I'm not going to be no mail handler. I'm not going to dump no mail on a sack or no damn treadmill for $25 an hour. Bump you. I know working at UPS. I told them to kiss where the sun don't shine. Walked off the job. I remember having a company car, take-home car, way back in the 80s, before most of y'all was even born, making $800, $900 a week, company car. Went inside of the supervisor's office, turned over the desk, cursed them out, and walked off. This is called the negative biological set point. You got one. And if you don't know what it is, brothers and sisters, you cannot reset it. That's the whole purpose of the life management system, is to help you find that negative habit pattern, that core imprint, that ruling disposition, that viceroy. He's hidden down inside of you, and he's not allowing you to oscillate and vibrate, because that is your single-digit strength, but unfortunately, it's also your single-digit problem. My one strength that I have that's better, nobody on the earth is better than I am a master 3, not really no master 30, no master teacher 33. Because the way that I got the number 33 is by a bunch of threes. So the number 3 and the number 6 and the number 9, that makes it up my chart. And the example that we used earlier, even though the person is number 1 or number 2 or number 3 or number 4, all of the underlining numbers are really got the number 1 in it. And the number 1 is the only number that is divisible by those four numbers equally. So that individual, if I'm telling that individual, I already know what their problem is. And I already know they should. They are an independent leader. Therefore, they have been destroyed as a kid growing up. That way they are a dependent follower. Their self, the enemy is going to attack them in the area of their confidence. What do you have to do? What is the number one thing you got to do to be a leader? To be an effective one. Anybody can say, yeah, I'm a leader. People don't follow people who don't know where to be. They're going. Leaders have intuition. Leaders, they don't go. Leaders, great leaders, they just know. They can't explain it. They just know. Yeah, we should go. They do the marketing statement. They go out and they test market. They do all of this stuff. But you find a great CEO, a great COO, a great corporate leader. They just everything in the books, all of the demographics, all the research says we should do this. But a great leader will be like, you know what? Nah, let's do this. Everybody on the board will be like, I don't know. I mean, the numbers say we should do this. But a great leader, he follows his gut. His intuition, or she follows his gut and intuition. So if I am counseling somebody with the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, you know what I'm telling them? Follow your gut because you've been following your head. Intellect overrides intuition. Why? That's the dark side. That's the single-digit problem, but the single-digit strength. But how does a person that has the number one, how do they get into the position of not listening to their intuition? By second-guessing it all the time, by being in an environment, probably being raised in a strict religious environment where our intuition was cut off. But what is your intuition? It is in and in the word tuition. The word tuition is what you pay for education. If you got intuition, that means your tuition is free. Intuition means God has already paid for your tuition to go to the school of hard knocks. So intuition means you've already been through the school of already a hard knocks. Honey, you ain't got to pay. God paid the price for you. He laid on the cross and he gave his life for you. So that way your tuition is paid. Why are you going through shitness again? Because you're following your head and you ain't following your gut. And so somebody who's like me, my creativity is already paid. But I have a lack of inertia because I've made mistakes. And so now I question my creativity. I'm like, damn, you know what? I don't know. Last time I did that, people laughed at me. I published a book and they pointed out all of the errors because, you know, I'm not a functionally literate. I'm not an English major. And so somebody, they're going to see that, oh, my books are not this or not that. I didn't go to Toastmasters, so I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not a great orator. Oh, I'm a licensed and ordained minister, been in the church all my life. I can speak in tongues and shout, turn over every chair, and do all of that shit. However, you know what? I don't come from the right spiritual pedigree. And so the enemy put these thoughts into my head, and what does it do? It stifles my creativity. So I'm a creator's creator. I can create in my sleep. But I don't got no confidence in my creations. Therefore, I don't give them the intent. And remember, wherever there's a lack of intent, there's going to be an outside event. Every time you have a lack of intention, there's going to be an outside invention that's going to take your attention. And you're going to spend all your time chasing them events following your intent. What is the quality of your intention, homie? What is the quality of your intention? The quality of your intention has been neutered because of the outside demonstration that's overriding the inside of revelation. As I said at the beginning, wherever the enemy is attacking you physically is an indication of where God has empowered you spiritually. So my question to you today, my brothers, my question to you today, my sisters, is where is the enemy attacking you physically? That is your most pressing problem. Now, the numbers behind it is, as we talked about before with the example of the chart that would have the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, or my chart that has the numbers 3, 6, 9, 3, and the master number 33. All of those numbers, if you break them down, what number can I divide into all four of those numbers? The number 3. So that is my single-digit strength. What is my strength? I'm a creator. I can create products in my sleep. It takes me no energy, no effort. If you would ask me, Brother Will, how do you come up with these topics for these shows? I have no clue. I just wake up and they there. I have no research. I don't call nobody. I don't consult anybody. I don't take no psychedelic drugs. I don't do nothing. But well, how did you write? You got 50 books published. You got 300 books in different stages of development. Well, how in the hell you write 300 books? I got 300 outlines in the garage that's been out there for 20 years. Probably be out there for another 20. Why? The dark side of my giftedness. I'm a great creator. Unfortunately, I suffer from a lack of inertia. But why is there a lack of inertia? Why is there a lack of finishing? I can start, but I can't finish. Now, I've gotten a whole lot better. I'm explaining to you guys where I came from. And as I said at the beginning of today's message, look at my, just look around. Your problem is staring you in the face. I can look at my car right now. That's my problem. What is it? That car tire needs a $5 fixer flat. I've been putting air in that tire for 3 months. Oil change been needed. Been driving around, need to be changed 2 months. Why do I put stuff off? Now, I go to the gym 3 times a day. I've been up today since 2:30 at night. Couldn't sleep last night. I've been up all day doing one-on-one. I don't have a lack of energy. But if I go back to my childhood, what was that spell that was placed over me? Y'all remember what my old shows I used to do? I used to tell you about my grandmother. I love my grandmother. Well, one thing that my grandmother used to tell me, she compared me to my older brother, Glenn. See, on Saturday morning, I didn't get up. Glenn got up every day, 6 o'clock, school, no school. My grandmother used to tell me all the time, boy, you're going to be a lazy, no good for nothing, alcoholic, just like your father. Lazy is the script that's running in the back of my head. That's the demon. That's the ruling disposition that was planted into my skull at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. I have to go all the way back. You got to go back too and deal with that devil. If you don't, your life is not, you will never live up to your God-given design because the enemy is going to keep you on the grind. See, you are designed by God to shine. You are a superstar. You are a star. You're supposed to be in close. You're supposed to collapse within and explode without. There should be no outside demonstration that should be overriding your inside revelation. None. However, it's the other way around. There is outside shizness that is destroying your inside revelation. But you should be a single standing column. Your 12 numbers should collapse into one. What 12 numbers, brother? The 12 numbers that make up the 12 cranial nerves. They make up the 12 months in the year. They make up the 12 zodiac signs. That represents the 12 disciples. Those 12 numbers that are on your chart. Because the 4 numbers got 2 numbers that support the 1 individual number. If you know those 12 numbers, brothers, and you harmonize those 12 numbers, bam, booyah. You walk through the valley of shadow and death and you fear no evil. But the enemy knows that, so he ain't going to let you hang out with me. Because I'm going to make sure you know those 12 numbers. Not the numbers, the characteristics and the attributes that's encased inside of those numbers. That is your single-digit strength. What is 9? I'm a 3. I'm a creator, co-creator, with the creator. My name, Bethesda, that's what it means. Your name means your single-digit number. If you look at your name, it equals your single-digit number. Your problem is you don't know the relevance, not you personally, but somebody that you know, you don't understand who you are. So the enemy wants to make sure that you have a lack of clarity or a lack of authenticity so you don't have clarity. Because remember, if based upon our hypothetical numbers today, 1, 2, 3, 4, the only way to become a leader, leaders lead. They are independent. 1 means an independent leader. You cannot lead nobody, you don't know where the hell you're going. So the enemy want to make sure that your intuition is always in question. So your gut going to say go left, and you're going to be, hold up, let me consult the Kundendero. Let me consult the Reverend Dr. Bishop. Let me consult Mama. Let me consult Daddy. You can always consult somebody instead of God that's inside of you because the kingdom of God is within. And you're going outside of yourself to validate what's going on inside of the self. That is the kiss of death. Warning, you will not be an independent leader. You're going to be a dependent follower. You're going to depend upon some business outside of you to verify God that's inside of you. Last I checked, lions, they don't need to be defended. My God is the Lion of Judah. You just let lions loose. They just kind of take care of themselves. You can go to Africa and check it out. I mean, I ain't never went, but I heard that they kind of, I've seen them in the zoo. Now, they're them the tamed old lions. The lion at his shoulder is about the size, I mean, he's about 5 feet, 6 feet at his shoulder. The lions look like trucks with teeth. Yeah, they don't need no defending. They kind of defend themselves. That's what God is. Well, I mean, the one I got, the big one. Now, the little God that a lot of folks got, yeah, he needs your assistance. He needs your help. You know, he needs you to support him, nurture him. And, you know, he's an Indian giver. If you don't jump through hoop A, then, you know, then he can't help you. If you don't, you know, show up every, you don't do all of these shiznits, then, you know, he don't hunt. See, I used to have that God, too. Come back every Sunday. You know, hold on, brother, your blessing's coming. Yeah, I used to have that God, too. I traded his ass in. I got the real one. The real God loves with unconditionally, brothers and sisters. The real God loves without ownership. The true destiny of mankind is for you to be like the thing. The offspring of a thing grows up to be like the thing. Let me say that again. The offspring of the thing grows up to be like the thing. I'm made in the image and likeness of the big G. I'm a single standing column of waveform energy. I can prove it. I just proved it with the photon injection series. We're getting ready to prove it with the next series called the quantum fusion induction state. If you can understand, if you can fuse your quantum or your quanta, everybody's a quanta. You have one quanta. The problem is it's spread up all over the place. You have a photon. You are a false, according to the Bible. And we broke that down. 7 hours we spent revealing, expanding, illuminating, simplifying James 3. Now we're going to break down Ephesians 2. The two seeds shall become one new man. This is called the new clay. Would you call it the nucleus? Everybody has inside of them the mitochondria. And through this process of mitosis, it is the understanding of how we create quantum fusion. We join or come together. And that produces, again, what some people call the physics of phase conjugation. Conja, not congra. It just simply means that you collapse within. That means you go within. Why? The kingdom of God is within. That's where your strength is. So how do you find your single-digit strength? As we said, thankfully, and as I have inside of everybody here in your report, God has already told us. He specifically said that he has established the heavens as a guide and an indicator in the direction that we should go. So he put stars up there. Then he said he put his name inside of our DNA. So DNA is not God. DNA is how God has chosen to express, expose, and expand himself. But loose and foreign intermingled in the DNA, and now he produces phosphate, a phosphorus, or a false horus, or a false horizon. If you notice that the four letters of your DNA, which stands for the four letters of God, because the fifth letter is missing, because it was replaced by Lucifer or his interference, you will find, based upon all of biology, that bioluminescence, which I have inside of my book, is made up of an enzyme called luciferin, and a process called luciferase that creates what is called cold fusion or cold light, that they call it bioluminescence, that must be replaced with sonar luminescence, that must be replaced again with something we're going to be teaching later on this year, which is what I call spiritual acoustics, which I'm going to call UNO or U luminescence, which is universe. Notice the word universe has the word you in it. See, I was taught, so was you, that the universe is out there somewhere. And so I was taught that the universe is a reflection. And I teach that, and it is. But on the higher level, which is where we're going, you are the universe. You don't reflect it back. So I was taught whatever you send out, it comes back. right? We all taught that. And that is a truth. But there's a higher truth, which is you send out what you are because you are a star. That's what astro theology is all about. That's the that word astro means celestial body, celestial being. So the Bible is a book about baby stars. That's what you are, meaning the universe doesn't reflect. You're not a fractal or hologram. You don't contain a piece. You are the piece. Jesus said that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. Now, the universe contains how many? What I understand, a plethora of galaxies, star systems. That's you. You are designed to be your own star system. Now, the offspring of a thing grows up to be like the thing. I am the offspring of a creator, so I'm going to grow up to be a creator. So I'm right now I'm in school to learn how to create, because right now I've been creating some unauthorized productions. That's how we got down to him. Somebody, his name is Lucian Barr, she did an unauthorized production. They had a thought. It was a great ideal, I-D-E-A-L, but it was not an ideal, I-D-E-A. So anytime you add an L, luminiferous. So we're going to break down something that I have not heard taught. It's going to be a very difficult. Oh, I'll take that back. It's going to be a very easy process for you to wrap your brain around. And we're going to break down darkness. Do you know that visible light is made up of what? How much of the electromagnetic spectrum is made up of visible light? Well, according to the electromagnetic spectrum, about less than 1%. So darkness is actually light. Don't tell nobody I told you. But we're going to break it down for you. I'll prove it to you. That's how you find the single-digit strength. For you to find the truth, because that gives you something called clarity. So when you speak with dunamis power. You don't speak like, well, I kind of think this is right, Brother Will. I mean, I don't really know, my brother. I just kind of think. See, everybody got either left wing, or some people got right wing. You know, politics, you know, left wing, right wing. But you need no wing. You need Dr. K. You have the N-O and then the W-I-N-G, wing. No wing. See, the enemy wants you to choose. Now, remember, there's always option A and option B. I always go with option C. But option C is never on the table. You got to find it. Most people stop. They say, well, Brother Will, I saw a tree, brother. It says a tree of knowledge, of good and evil. Yeah, but there's a tree behind that one called the tree of life. Oh, I didn't see that. Well, yeah, exactly. It wasn't offered. They don't offer you option C. You got to ask. It's not even on the menu. So we all have options. But we only have the options of duality. We have the options of good and evil. I'm here to present to you the option of life, Zoe life, Zoal life. Your strength is also your weakness. Your job is to find your weakness and monetize it, fall in love with it. So I have inertia. I put shiftness off. So every morning I wake up, I force myself to stay up until I complete my task that I've made. Now, I'm like everybody else. Some days are better than others. Like this last couple of months, I gave myself an excuse. Oh, well, brother, you got a toothache, you know. Yeah, you know, give yourself, you know, brother, it's okay. So you don't meet your goal. So I got to process one deer can report a day to keep up with the demand. Because I'm a one-man operation at this point. So if I don't, I don't care what time I go to bed. My goal every day is to finish one report every day. Now, it used to take me a week to a week and a half to do one report. But I had to figure out my business started growing. Everybody that I talked to do their kidney reports, they left and they're doing it themselves now. Or they stab me in the back and they do it on the slide. So I can't trust. I mean, I can. But at this point, the universe is sending real people into my life that have integrity and have a shared vision and see the worth and the value in me. but I had to see it in myself first. So it was it their fault for stabbing me in the back? No. It was my fault for not seeing worth and value in myself. So remember, I am my own universe. I bring about what I think about. So I send out a vibe. This is the dark side of my gift. I have to cause or I have to self-sabotage my own success because the world evolves around creating. So I'm a very creative creator, but the emphasis is on the creation part, not the creative part. So I create. I am a co-creator with the creator. That's my strength. So in order to neutralize that, the enemy has to have something called inertia. He got to get me to not create. So how does he get a creator to not create? How can I get you, if you are a one, an independent leader, as we talked about in our example before, the number that is divisible into all four of your numbers, if it's the number one, let's say it's the number two. You can divide the number two into all of your numbers, or at least three of the four numbers. That means everything about you is what some people would consider aloof. So if you are a two, you're a peaceful person. So I'm going to tell you things like, oh, you're lazy, you're aloof, you're laid back. That's the dark side of being peaceful. Because peaceful means that you maintain a mental disposition that is devoid of cray-cray. So the dark side of that is you maintain a mental disposition that is full of cray-cray. So the goal is to understand yourself because that brings clarity and authenticity. As a leader, that's you got to have that. Because people are going to look for you, and they're going to bring you questions, and they're going to say, how do we do blank? As a leader, you got to be able to answer that question, whatever blank is. Nobody else in the organization may have the answer, but you, if you are the head of any part, if you're the head of any organization, I don't care if you are a sanitation engineer. That's code for janitor. So if you are the head sanitation engineer of you know, ABC Incorporated, when they come to you and say, hey, how do we wax this floor? You might want to know how to do that. Why? You are the head. You're the leader of the sanitation engineering department. So I am the head. I am the leader of the life management system. I designed it. I designed it from scratch. Thankfully, by the grace and mercy of God, I got a dog that hunts. Because I designed it based upon my problem, which is what I just shared with you, which was I had no self-confidence because I had no vision, because I had no purpose, because I was raised in an environment where nobody told me, nobody lived an example. I never saw a godly marriage. Based upon what I know a godly marriage is now, I saw marriages, but I thought those was good. Now I know that. That's not how it's supposed to work, bro. What I thought was responsibility, stability, you know, changing jobs. I thought that was what everybody do. Come to find out, that's not true. So I was raised in an environment of flaws. So now my norm is problems. So I think unsuccessful people are successful. So my definitions are flawed. My definition of wealth was flawed. My definition of health was flawed. Where I'm from, nobody has teeth. By the time they're 40, their teeth is gone. Where I'm from, I'm from like Podunk, Texas. I'm talking about country. I mean, houses leaning, you got three rooms, you know, about you bought it. People's cars. I mean, you go down there now. Y'all don't believe me. I take you down where I'm from. The cars is worth more than the houses. Y'all think I'm making this up? People's cars is worth more than a house. So when I go home, oh, man, I'm like a celebrity. In fact, I go home, I have to be careful when I go home. Because people be wanting to, like, try to, you know, fight. Yeah, you're a bougie nigga. You think you blew up? You think you're somebody? Like, dude, I just got a job and, you know, married to one woman. Soon I got home, and the first thing people ask me, like, how many kids you got by how many different women? That doesn't apply to me. Oh, you ain't done nothing. Really? So you measure your worth and value about how many different baby mamas you got? That was my definition of success. These girls don't ask me, do I got a job? Am I married to one woman? Do I got a car? Do I got all my teeth? That's not the definition of success where I'm from. So for me, unsuccess is success. I had to relearn that. Still relearning it. And every once in a while, that old devil comes back and knocks on my door. Hey, Brother Will, you want to readjust your definitions, homie? You want to go back and get those definitions from the definitions? DEAFPHOE. How's definitions? NCIAN, whatever it's spelled. Definition, that's where Abraham was from. That's why God told him, leave your land, and I'm going to take you over chimp to the promised land. Because where you from, those definitions is whack. Some of us, we left definitions, but we took the D-E-F-I-N-I-T-I-O-N-S, the definitions with us. They're customs and traditions. That's what I did. I left the world. I just said you can take the man out of the ghetto, but sometimes you cannot take the ghetto out of the man. That's the purpose of the life management system. It's been a 50-year journey to get to the place where I can look at you and tell what your problem is. Because why? It's been a very long journey dealing with a lot of ruling dispositions. And they are crafty. They're cunning. See, the devil hides in plain sight. When you think you found him and you've identified him and you removed him, you just cut him off at the top. The root, yeah, homie, the root's still there. How do I know? You like a sine wave. You go up and down. This is what I do. I don't go up and down with people anymore. I stay firm, fair, and consistent. Firm, fair, and consistent. So when you're on your way up, we hang out, and once you start drifting past my stationary position, say, hey, dog, I see you on your way down. So you go up. You're on the mountaintop. You got your money, man. Income tax came in. You balling. You're going to go get you some new rims. You're going to get you some gold teeth in your mouth. You're going to go out and, you know, and go to Popeyes every night or whatever. You know how y'all do. How we do. Then when all your money's gone, you're on your way down. Then you come back into my range. I see, hey, there you go. Yeah, brother so-and-so. What's up, dog? So we hang out. But you're still going down. Because why? You got to hit that depression. You got to bottom out. Because why? Income tax gone now. But I don't go down there with you. Now, I used to go up and down with people, up and down, up and down. This freaking emotional roller coaster that people are on. I don't do that no more. I used to. Now I love you without trying to save you. I am the dark side of six, which is the three. See, as a six, I'm a compassionate guy. I want to help everybody and their grandmother. Yeah, not no more. I know God's job to save you. My job is to love you. So I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you on your way down and on your way up. And on your way down and on your way up. I'm going to still be waiting for you, boo-boo, on your way up. Because you got to come down. I've learned, like Paul said, whether I am abased or abound, rich or poor, whatever state that I am, I've learned to be content. Now, it took me a while to get to this place. It may take you a while. But how do you get to that place? Finding your purpose, clarity, crystal clear clarity, being authentically you. Don't try to be something you're not. I'm a creator, period. I am not an independent leader. I'm not a two. I'm not a peaceful phlegmatic. No, you punch the button, you're going to see a part of Brother Willie that you probably don't like. That's not, I'm not a two, but I'm a three. Now, I'm not a four. I would like to be a four, but fours are awesome. But, you know, my wife's a four. I'm not. My wife works circles around me. Hey, why? I tell her all the time. The neighbors, hey, dog, yo, I see your wife out there cutting the grass. She's up in the tree freaking fixing the fence. She replaced the damn sink, put in a dishwasher. My wife works circles around me. I'm sitting there at the computer doing shows. The men come over here, and they be like, damn, I want one of those out. What is your wife got any sisters? But my wife's a four. Now, if I didn't know that, if I was young, dumb, and stupid, I'd be out there trying to do what my wife do. And I would crash and burn. I already tried to. That's how I know. So now, I let my wife do her because God designed her that way. Now, I help in where I can. But I ain't really foo-foo no more. I found my space in my lane, and I vibrate in my space. The enemy's job is to get me out of that space. Now, I'm not a five, so you won't see me out doing no sky, no bungee jumping. You won't see me doing no skydiving, so don't invite me to do no cray-cray stuff. That ain't me. I'm not a five. Now, I'm a six. We can go hug some trees and save some wells. We can go pass our tracks. We can start somebody. I love everybody. I'm a six. That's what I do. I'm not a seven, though. So if y'all want to get together and talk, I like physics and I like biology. I know a little something. But when y'all get deep into physics, and y'all get deep into, if y'all, you know, are English majors and you want to read my books and say, well, Brother Will, you put in T-H-E-R-E, and it should be T-H-E-I-R. I'm going to be like, man, yeah, what's your point, boo-boo? Well, brother, that's grammatically incorrect, brother. Okay. I'm just glad I can spell. So if you want to edit it for me, knock yourself out. Maybe we can barter. But I ain't going back there and changing the T-H-E-R-E to T-H-E-I-R. There is there. Why? I am a seven. But I need sevens because I know when I get higher up, there's going to be people who are going to notice that. And then, hey, I'm not an eight. I'm not a money master. I'm not a material master. I'm not a pattern recognition guy. But eights can see patterns on another planet. Where I can see creativity or lack thereof, eights can see patterns, and patterns are power. Nines are the royalty. So I'm not a nine. So that's some kinks in my armor, brother. Yes? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yes, Brother Will got chinks in his armor. I'll let y'all know up front. If y'all looking for a perfect dude, I'm not. I'm sorry, boo-boo. I'm not the one. So I'm not a nine. I'm not a royal priest. I don't carry myself like a royal. You know, if my butt itches, I'm going to scratch it. And I'm going to say, I'm going to try to do it, you know, politely, but I'm not a nine. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, I've learned to be myself, to be authentically me. I don't apologize for being who I am. This is the way God made me. He flawed me on purpose. I am flawed for this specific purpose. That's why I'm good at what I do. I can sit in this chair all day for 12 to 14 hours, and I just get up to use the restroom and drink water. Sometimes I don't even bathe or shave. My wife will tell me, hey, babe, been like 3 days since you showered. I'd be like, damn, you know what? You're right. I honestly don't. I mean, if she don't tell me, I'm like, I will honestly forget. I am good at looking up the definitions of words. I love it. I like researching the word all the way back to where it was started because that's my niche. The problem is there's a dark side to that. I need to balance the good and the bad, and so must you. And that's the purpose of the life management system and the purpose of what I do. Help you find your purpose, help you find your flaw. And when we find those two, we don't try to get rid of either one of them. We balance it. It is in this balancing act we let God be God. Only thing we do, we find our position. Because in our position is where we find the person. And then the person takes us to our place. It is to be the position that leads you to the person that takes you to this place. It is your purpose that leads you to the person of Yahuwah and his son Yahushua that takes you to this place called the kingdom that is within. Without those three P's, you indeed chemistry. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm glad to be back. Thank you so much for your prayers. I love you and I appreciate you. God bless you. We'll be back on tomorrow. The next series starts. I moved it back to April the 1st. Make sure that, you know, teeth and jaw and everything is good to go. But the next series you guys don't want to miss, we're going to break down this whole quantum fusion induction state. That's the fancy physics way of saying we're going to break down how to find your purpose and monetize it. That's basically what we're going to be talking about on the next series. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Stop trying to need others. Because you get your own, you can start to wait for others. Stop running from yourself and take up your own. Don't let them get the teeth, pick up your own. Because you're going to need the teeth to make a stone cold. So I'm going to hear some hugs when they get alone. I'll be up to look for my bitches. I'll be pulling all these cars with this mighty flow. They don't claim to be a thug. I just talk with love. You just want to give me the mug because they nothing but someone that's not handling with the system.